Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 to 39. May the congregation please turn to the Bible. The parable of the weeds explained. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word.
We are very happy to have Brother Edmund preach to us, and he has entitled his message, "Why Does God Allow the Wicked to Prosper?" Brother Edmund.
Morning, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Morning.
Truly, it's a privilege to worship with you today. Let me just begin by giving you the background as to this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture, point one, it's a very simple passage of Scripture to understand, but very difficult to practice. Number two, another interesting feature about this parable is this is a rare occurrence that Jesus tells the parable and then he gives the interpretation for it. We have also seen in chapter 13 where he gives the parable of the sower, then he gives the interpretation, then you don't have to guess already. The rest of the parables, you may have to understand the principles first and then make your own interpretation. But in this case, the interpretation is given to us. No need to speculate. Point three is important. We sometimes wonder, why does God allow the wicked to prosper? And this passage of scripture I've selected is a result of my own personal struggle. This happened maybe, I don't know, maybe 17, 18 years ago. I worked for a boss. Wow, this boss was really toxic, man. I worked for her 3 years. 3 years. The first 3 months were okay. But thereafter that, wow, it was really a real torturing exercise. Every day I go to work, I'll be chewed up by her. Every day I try to second guess her. And then in a space of 2-3 weeks, scenario one, maybe with a red shirt. Scenario two, maybe with a pink shirt. Two different outcomes. The rest are the same. But one red shirt, one pink shirt, two different outcomes. Sometimes you go for a meeting. The meeting last week, we discussed item A. And then this week, we discussed similar item A prime, just slightly different. But the outcome again is different. So it was just unpredictable. So I found myself asking, why, Lord? Why this kind of people allowed to exist? I mean, you're so powerful. Like my pastor said, you're omniscient, you know all. You're omnipotent, you're very powerful. You can remove all these people with a pop like that, finish. So I had to study the scripture for myself many years ago, and I just shared with you my own personal study. I remember thinking, point four, wow, this is unfair. This is unfair. The wicked go through life, simple life. Drive a nice car, have a nice house, children are doing well. I mean, where is the sense of justice in this? Where is the equity, so to speak? I remember at that point in time, I felt really, okay, on a good day, I feel lousy. On a bad day, I feel bitter. Wow, I really feel bitter. I really feel, the more I dwell on it, the more I say, this, there must be a good God somewhere. So on those days that bad days where I'm very bitter, I turn to this passage of scripture. And let us engage this text. All right, let me give you the background behind this text. This text is Jesus took an agricultural metaphor. He took an agricultural background. And the reason he did that was because his hearers were farmers, were laborers in the field. They were agricultural people. And then, and you will find that this parable resonated with the hearers. And the reason why it resonated with the hearers was because in Israel in those days, there were wheat and there were tares, or weeds, but sometimes it's just hard to pronounce the difference. So I'll use the old term here, the tares. And you will find that these wheat and the tares were virtually indistinguishable when they're seeds. All right? So what happens is when they are planted together, what happens is the tares tend in the roots, in the roots below the surface, which you cannot see, they tend to tangle up with the roots of the wheat, and as a result, choke and stifle the wheat. Now, the problem with this is you cannot remove the weeds or the tares without possibly damaging the wheat, and the reason is because the roots are intertwined sometimes. All right. Okay. So this. So instead of tearing out the wheat with the tares, what the farmers used to do is okay. What they'll do is they'll wait for the entire harvest time to harvest process to be over, probably about 3 months, 4 months, and then when they do a final harvest, what they'll do is they'll separate the wheat from the tares. And then what they do is they gather the tares and they burn it. That was the agricultural background. Okay, so keep that in mind. Keep in mind that the question that I had in mind was, why the wicked are allowed to prosper? Why this toxic boss is allowed to prosper? Okay, let's engage the text. Let's look at verses 24 to 29. And as I said before, just now the scripture reader read from the interpretation of it, but now I'll read the actual parable that was told. Okay, in verse 24, we start chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus told them, and the them are in defined for us in chapter 13, verse 1. The same day Jesus went out, and there were such crowds in verse 2. That gathered around him. This is the them. So Jesus in verse 24 was still speaking to the large crowds who had followed him. And he told another parable. This is the second parable that he told. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Why? He begins this parable with a comparison. He wants to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like. But nobody has seen the kingdom of heaven, ma. So what he has to do is he has to explain it in terms where the local farmers, laborers could understand. All right? So he used this tool of a parable. He said this, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds or tares among the wheat and went away. Verse 26, and when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Verse 27, the owner's servant came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where then did the weeds come from? So the owner said in verse 28, an enemy did this. So the servant said, ask him in verse 28, hey, do you want us to go and pull out all these weeds? I mean, we don't need weeds, right? We only need wheat. Right? So verse 29, the landowner said, no, because while you are pulling out the weeds or the tares, you might or may root up the wheat with them. So the wise counsel from the landowner was this in verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell you, at that time, I will tell the harvest two things. First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles. Number two, I will get them to be burned. And then what about the wheat? The wheat I will bring into my barn. All right, so he tells this parable in 5 verses from 24 to 29. And then as he moves away in verse 36, let us see verse 36. And when he now leaves the crowd, so when he told the parable, he told it in general, and there was a huge following. So now in verse 36, he left the crowd, went into the house. It was a private space, all right? And in this private space, the disciples in verse 36 asked him, hey, Lord, can you explain this parable of the weeds in the field? Can you explain to us? This is a private setting now. Can you explain to us? We also not quite too sure what you meant. So verse 37, Jesus answered, and now he gives the correct interpretation or the interpretation to his parable. He says this, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, meaning I'm the one who sowed the good seed. Number two, the field that you heard is the world around you that you see. Number three, the good seed stands for or represents the sons of the kingdom. That means people who are believers, people who follow me. The weeds, on the other hand, are the sons of the evil one. That means these are followers of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. I'm telling you this. And then the harvest, like any harvest, has an end period. It's at the end of the age. And the harvesters are the angels. So verse 40, Jesus goes on and he explains this parable. He says, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. So he now says in verse 40, remember guys, in this normal harvest, the weeds will be gathered one side, they'll be burnt. Same thing, it will happen in the kingdom of heaven, in the age, in the last part, not now. Verse 41, the Son of Man, at that point in time, the Son of Man will send out his angels. So his angels are like those harvesters. The Son of Man will send out his angels and will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Verse 42, the harvesters or the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be, this is a common phrase in Matthew, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping means there'll be tears, there'll be cry. Gnashing of teeth is when your teeth grind together in pain. All right? What will happen at that time? Verse 43, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And again, this is another idiom. He who has ears, let him hear, means if you heard this, pay careful attention. All right, so Jesus gives this interpretation. I'm just going to explain this interpretation and then we can make some application. Number one, this parable teaches us that the wicked will coexist with the righteous. All right. Much as I would like that boss to be eliminated, wiped out in a blink of an eye, that's not going to happen. All right? He says in verse 28, the servants ask him, hey, do you want us to go out and pull them up? I mean, since they're germinating now, better deal with this problem up front. Right? Rather let it grow and then we got a bigger problem. Say, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because by doing that, you will, you see, when you say, do you want us to go and pull it up? For the righteous to look for a fair and final final and fair outcome on earth is pointless. Jesus' point is, there's no point in doing it now because the final account settlement is not now. Now I'm using a Singapore example. We all work in organizations, and organizations have a financial closing year. Some organizations' final year-end closing is December, others are in March. So Jesus is using this example. Hey, you want to settle? Let's say our financial accounting year is end of December, 31st. You're now only in September. And then you want to find fair and final outcome now. Pointless. You got to wait until the end of the year for the accounts to be squared off. So you see that this point three is important because although the wicked appear to be having a good time on earth, this all temporal. It's only during this period of harvest only. Yeah. The roots of the tares are entangled or twined around the roots of the wheat. Just sabo the wheat. Only temporal. This impact is only temporal. You see, point four, the wicked will eventually be separated out, judged and destroyed. Two groups of people again. The righteous will be gathered together, rewarded and brought into God's presence. And why is this important? Because we spend our lives, myself included, we spend our lives trying to look for a final and fair solution now, here and now. Cannot lah. We're just going to ram our head against the wall. We have to be patient. All right? We know now for sure that the righteous and the unrighteous will coexist now. There is no choice. So anyone who has ears, let him hear. This is an idiom. Pay careful attention. You want a final fair outcome now? That's not going to happen. Why? Because it's to your own possible detriment. And now I want to explain why there are only two groups of people. Because the world actually only had one group of people. After Adam sinned, all became sinners. Everybody became sinners. But now we have an opportunity. There's an opportunity to respond to the good news. And what is this good news? And the good news is very simple, that sinful man can now go to God. Can now go to heaven. How? Not directly, but because Jesus has died for our sins. And so, if you read this passage of Scripture and you hear this passage of Scripture, there are only two possible outcomes. Each of us has to answer. You are either in team A or in team B. There's no other team. You are either with the children of the sons of God, or you are the children of the evil one. There's only two outcomes. Not rich or poor, not blind or lame, or not sighted or whatever. There are only two possible outcomes. So, brothers and sisters, hearers, please respond today. You have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to respond to God's word. We have an opportunity as sinners to now come before a holy God. Simply because Jesus has made the way for us. Simply because he has made the way for us. And on Friday, we highlight this. And on Sunday, we celebrate his resurrection. And we have this glorious hope. Okay, in summary, this parable tells us that the righteous and the wicked cannot be distinguished until the end of it. That means they could be sitting here. They could be sitting in our midst. They're your colleagues, the last 15 years you've been sitting next to you, you have rotated department, they are still there. They could be your classmates doing the project. There'll be one guy, okay, I've done many projects, there'll be one guy who will be a passenger, everybody got to carry him. There'll be one guy in a team that will be uncooperative. So Jesus is saying in point two that attempts to rule out will end up hurting us, the righteous. This is the reason why Jesus says, let them prosper. Because he doesn't want collateral damage. He doesn't want collateral damage. Next thing, this parable tells us that final accounts will not be settled here. So let's be realistic. The righteous are not going to go away. That guy who is a passenger in your project will not ask, okay, can I shift to another project? Can I be a pain on another guy? Can I be a passenger in another project? He's not going to do that. The boss who has tormented you will not say, I think I'll go for another job. Let me torment another company. No, he's not going to do that. The righteous, how are the righteous supposed to respond? We're supposed to endure, persevere on earth. And you can only persevere when you have a vision. And this vision could be in the future. You have a vision of December 31st in the future. You can have a vision of today. You want the accounts to be settled today, it's not going to happen. Number six is what I had to learn the hard way. That's why I say it's an easy lesson. But very easy to understand, but very hard to really learn it, learn the lesson. Point six, there's no other way to learn endurance. There's no other way. Endurance cannot be learned through textbook, YouTube, online. It has to be practiced, it has to be experienced. Many things you can learn online, one. How to play the piano, you can learn online. How to appreciate art, you can listen to a lecture. But you want to learn endurance? No choice. You've got to experience it. Experience it. Number seven, while it appears that the wicked are having a good time, this is all temporary. That means you don't get distracted. You focus on your own end game. And your end game should be in heaven. Finally, I close. Anyone who has ears, let him hear. If you have not responded today to the good news, please respond. Please be one of the children of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this simple passage of scripture. Lord, for those who are undergoing difficulties and trials in our workplace, we may have unreasonable bosses. We may have uncooperative colleagues. We may have lazy project mates. We may have people who have harmed us. Father, we pray that you will help us to endure. But endurance helps us to cast our eye upon you each day. Help us to cast our eye upon you each day with a view to the future. Father, we commend ourselves to your loving hands as we prepare for this holy week. Help us to walk in a way that will please you. For those of us who will have to endure, please give us grace, Lord. Father, as we commend ourselves to your loving hands, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I would like to sing Abide With Me, please. Can we just rise? I would like to sing Abide With Me. And let me explain this. And let me explain this hymn. It's a very touching hymn. When I sang this, I was in tears. And this hymn pictures what the writer writes at a time when he's just about to die. So he says, abide with me, fast force. That means it is quick when the eventide. That means he pictures this thing as his life is ebbing away already. The darkness deepens. Lord, stay with me, abide with me. Next slide, please. When others help us fail, the doctor, Edmund, you got prostate cancer, your stage four. This, what we can do is just make you, give you some saline solution, give you a bit of blood transfusion, make you comfortable. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Next slide, please. Swift to its close, that means I'm almost dying already, ebbs out life's little day. That means I lived life for 70 years, 80 years, but my life is ebbing away. As I lay down, earth's joys grow dim. Its glories pass away. All those memories of going to Switzerland pass away. memories of watching Lion King pass away. Next slide, please. Change and decay in all around I see, because I'm dying already, what? O thou who changest not, abide with me. Next slide, please. I need your presence with every passing hour. What can hold back this tempter's power? Only your grace. Next slide, please. Who like yourself, my guide and stay, can be? Now, guide here and stay. Stay is a rock. It's a permanent fixture. Who like yourself can be my guide and my rock through cloud and sunshine? Oh, abide with me. And I like this word, wait, hold on. I like this word guide and stay because it helps me recall. Remember when we learned the book of Hebrews, the word archegos? This is the guide. This is the guide, the leader, somebody who knows the way. Next slide, please. Hold out thy word before my closing eyes. I'm going to die already. Shine through the gloom and point me to the next world, the skies. Next slide, please. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, as in death now, O Lord, abide with me. Please, pianist. Thank you for the fine singing. I hand over back to Pastor, please.